Shalom, Australia. Israelis narrowly escaped the cost and trouble of another general election when on Thursday Prime Minister Netanyahu and Finance Minister Moshe Kahlon reached a compromise on the new public broadcaster. The issue had threatened to tear apart the coalition. Instead of the IBA being closed on April the 30th, another month will be allowed to finalize details of the new Kan network and the independent news department, which will organizationally be situated within it, but which will operate with separate oversight. There are no details about who from the current IBA news professionals will be employed by the new body. The likely redundancy of up to 1,000 IBA employees was one of the complaints against Kahlon's plan. The Union of Journalists in Israel approached Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit last week and demanded that no harm come to employees who are continuing to be hung out to dry without a future. The Cabinet voted unanimously on Thursday to establish a new West Bank settlement for families evicted from the dismantled Amona outpost, the first new Jewish town in the territory since the 1993 Oslo Accords, amid intense negotiations with the U.S. over settlement building. The new community will be located near the settlements of Shiloh and Eli, north of Ramallah. The Prime Minister's office also announced the approval of tenders for some 2,000 new settlement homes, housing units whose planned construction was first announced in January. The announcements have been widely denounced throughout Europe. Jordanian government spokesman Mohamed Momani said the establishment of a new West Bank settlement would hurt the peace process and constitutes a clear violation of the rights of the Palestinian people, in particular their right to establish an independent state within the 1967 borders. A White House official said after the announcement that talks between Jerusalem and the U.S. on limiting settlement construction were ongoing and said that Israel had agreed to take U.S. President Donald Trump's concerns into consideration. 17-year-old Ahmed Jazal from the West Bank village of Sebastia near Nablus stabbed two young men and a police officer in Jerusalem's Old City yesterday before being shot and killed by security forces. The victims, two civilians aged 18 and 20, and a border policeman in his early 20s, received treatment at the scene and were taken to hospital. On Wednesday, border police shot and killed Siham Rateb Nimir, 49, from East Jerusalem, as she attempted to stab him with scissors outside Damascus Gate. Her son was Mustafa Nimir, who was shot dead by border police in September after a misunderstanding at an East Jerusalem checkpoint. A group of Israelis with various disabilities have been on a hunger strike for 2 weeks, demanding that the disability pension be raised to the level of the minimum wage. Although the hospitalization of one of the strikers in serious condition brought an end to the strike by most of the participants, a small number is continuing, saying that their current pension level does not allow them to buy their medication and food anyway. The Supreme Court on Thursday officially allowed a Svat woman to divorce her comatose husband, ending a decade-long process. The court blocked rabbinical judges from reviewing an appeal against the nullification of the marriage, saying that they had no standing to intervene in the case. The woman had been an aguna, unable to remarry, since her husband was put into a coma from which he will not recover in a motorcycle accident in 2007. Judge Nasser Abu Taha of the Be'er Sheva District Court on Wednesday urged Mohammed El-Harabi, the Gaza manager of the Christian World Vision charity organization, who has been charged with diverting millions of dollars to Hamas, to accept a plea deal to receive a reduced sentence. Abu Taha said there is little chance of a conviction would not be handed down, adding that conviction rates were high in similar security cases in recent years. El-Halabi has pleaded not guilty to all charges. President Reuven Rivlin rejected a pardon request from former Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, who is serving a 26-month jail sentence on various corruption charges, saying on Monday that there were no grounds to let the former Premier go early. The decision came 2 weeks after Justice Minister Ayelet Shaked requested the ex-Premier be released, even as officials in her ministry recommended against it. In a statement, Rivlin's office said the court decision had already taken into account Olmert's public service and contribution to the state, so he could not grant a pardon on that basis. Controversial rabbi and head of a pre-army academy in the West Bank, Rabbi Yigal Levenstein, who made disparaging and sexist remarks against female IDF soldiers earlier this month, has apologized for his comments, which had earned him a summons by Defence Minister Avigdor Lieberman. In a letter to students and graduates of the program in ELI, Levinston said that while some of his comments were taken out of context, the tone was inappropriate and it wasn't right to denigrate female soldiers. Thousands of ultra-Orthodox Jews protested in Jerusalem on Tuesday in a show of force over the arrest of members of the community for failing to show up for their IDF drafts. Police said that although the protest was unauthorized and illegal, they decided to contain the event and monitor it, rather than risk violence by trying to break it up. The event was a change in tone following weeks of often violent but much smaller protests by young men, which included blocking traffic, burning trash, and throwing rocks and objects at police. The protest was much larger and largely peaceful, although a woman passing by was kicked and verbally abused by teenagers. Likud MK Yehuda Glick on Tuesday petitioned the High Court to force the government to allow Knesset members to visit the Temple Mount site after a nearly 18-month ban. On Monday, Prime Minister Netanyahu said he would consider lifting the ban in 3 months. Glick's petition asked the court to stop the police from banning lawmakers from ascending to the Esplanade immediately, and specifically to allow Glick himself to freely visit the site as soon as possible, or at the very latest before the eve of Pesach on April 10th. It was announced on Wednesday that Israel and Nicaragua have renewed official diplomatic relations after a 7-year freeze. Nicaragua, a mostly Catholic country, is closely aligned with Iran, which runs training camps for its militias in the country and usually votes against Israel in diplomatic forums such as the United Nations. 6 months of negotiations yielded an agreement last week between the Finance Ministry and Transportation Ministry, along with the Israel Airports Authority, for a new taxi system at Ben Gurion Airport. As soon as the plan, which does away with a 40-year monopoly by one company, is implemented, it will lead to significant reductions in fares to and from the airport. And finally, a study released on Monday showed that mice began infesting human settlement some 15,000 years ago in the Middle East, far longer than previously thought. Researchers focused on an ancient Natufian hunter-gatherer site in the Jordan Valley, where excavations have shown a wildly swinging ratio of house mice to wild mice during different prehistoric periods. In hunter-gatherer villages in the Eastern Mediterranean region, house mice were common more than 3,000 years before the earliest known evidence for agriculture. The research included a team from Haifa University, and the findings provide clear evidence about the way humans have shaped the natural world. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.